Wow, that's a beautiful message, wasn't it? Wasn't it? Because that's what we all need to know and emphasize in our individual lives. And that is indeed, God is faithful. God is a faithful Father. And there is nothing God is not able to do. Nothing that God cannot do. I have my limitations. Heard about a gentleman who threw himself down on the floor and he missed it. Now to prove that that can't happen or can happen, I'm going to start throwing myself down on the floor. And I'm going to see how many times I have to throw myself down on the floor before I miss it. Now if I did that, what would you think? You'd probably think there's something wrong with me. A little screwy up here and a little loose, whatever, right? Well, it's interesting to me as Christians who know the book and know the God the book reveals, how many times you and I try to do things that are impossible. We can't do them. Only God is able to do them. I said only God is able to do them. And you and I are bound by God to put our faith and our trust in His ability to do what He is able to do. Because it's the grandest theme that the has ever sung, the grandest theme the world ever has heard, is the fact is that God is able. And when we sing that song is there, it's a part of our hymnals and the aspects of it. And if you and I will just simply look to God in faith and trust Him as what He is able to do, that He is our faithful Father, that He's willing to deliver you and I and to bless us in more ways, because God is able. I said, God is able. God is able to do and accomplish things that are far beyond your dream and your imagination. And so as God is our Father today, I'm speaking to all of you today for a moment. Your Father is able to do whatever. Your earthly father wasn't able to do everything for you. Your earthly father was not perfect. He was dysfunctional. He did a lot of things he probably shouldn't have done. But he did a lot of things he did right in every aspect. But when you became a Christian and you were born again, you got a new father. And because I received a new father, I cannot go back beyond my baptism where I was born again and adopted into the family of God. Because it doesn't matter what my dad did. It doesn't matter who he was. That has no effect on me because I'm a new creature in Christ. The old has passed away. Behold, everything is new. I have a new father. My brother wasn't perfect either. In fact, my brother, in a lot of ways, hated the fact that my earthly father committed suicide. And he was given a responsibility he didn't want, and that was to be my father. He had a lot to do with raising me. And I don't believe he really appreciated the fact that that responsibility was put on him. But I got a new brother today. I got a new father. I got a new brother. His name is Jesus Christ. And I've been adopted into the family of God. And I have a father today that far surpasses anything that this world could even begin to dream and offer to me in the perspective of which I'm sharing with you today. It was a very dark night in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar the king had made a decree that everyone was to bow down and worship the gods of the Babylonians. But there were three young Hebrew young men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who refused that they would not bow down to the gods of the Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar then ordered them to be thrown into a fiery furnace, that it was to be heated up 7 times hotter than normal because of their refusal to obey him as a king. Their testimony is the heartbeat of this man standing in front of you today. Because they said something that should ring true in your heart every day of your life, that no matter how hot this world gets and how evil and how much tribulation you have to go through, you can say what they say. They said, be it so, our God is able to deliver us from that fiery furnace and from your hands, O King. You got that kind of faith? That your God is able to deliver you from whatever it is that you're going through? That God is able? That God is able? Because God is not only able, He's a faithful Father. God loves His children. He substantiated that by letting His Son die for you. He loves you more than what you or I could even begin to think or reason from the earthly plane. We can only experience the love of God in that aspect. But I have this certainty, and you need this certainty. Jesus said in Matthew 19:26, with people, anything is nothing is impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. My faith, by faith, I understand and I believe that God spoke with His word power everything that exists out of nothing. That's what Hebrews tells me. That He spoke and it was. Let there be light and there was light. And I also believe that by God's word power, this whole universe is being held together until God appoints that day, that appointed day, and removes His word power from the atoms, and it all goes up in one gigantic explosion and passes away. I believe my God is that powerful. The God of the book is not only faithful, there is nothing He is not able to do. He is able. What is He able to do? What does that mean to you and me? What does that mean? Well, number one, that means God is able to keep every promise that He has ever made. I believe the spectrum of your faith is based on whether or not you believe that whatever God has promised, He's able to perform it and will perform it in your individual life. God is a God of promises. Hebrews 10:23 states, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Faithful. Don't waver. Don't waver in your faith. You got to firmly be convinced that God is able, that no matter what you or I have been promised in this book, and He's made many promises to His children, that He's able to keep those promises and will keep those promises. Romans 4:19-21, you have Abraham, the father of the faithful. That's what he's called. And what does the Bible say about him? Bible says that this is Abraham's faith. It says, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body dead, since he was 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, with respect to it, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded and assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform it. Now, do you have that kind of faith? You believe that God is in heaven and that God is able to keep every promise that He's made? You believe that? You see? Because one of the most powerful, precious verses to this guy is Acts 2:38. That after Peter preached the gospel and those Jews on Pentecost were pricked in their heart, they cried out, men, brethren, what must we do? And Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of them, in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, and they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But Peter didn't stop there. Verse 39, Peter said, this promise is to you. And this promise is to your children. And this promise is to as many as the Lord our God shall call into the future. That promise reached me. I believe with all my heart that when I was immersed into Jesus Christ in the authority of His name, God forgave me of my sins. And that I was crucified with Christ. I don't live any longer. I was raised to walk in a new life in Christ, filled with His Spirit. And that Spirit has continually been at work in my life, projecting and accomplishing the will of God in my life. I believe that. I have all kinds of faith in that. What do you put your faith in salvation? Huh? You put it in the fact that you've obeyed the commands that Jesus gave through Peter on Pentecost to the whole world. Jesus has said to Peter, whatever you loose on earth is going to be and has already been loosed in heaven. And whatever you bind on earth has already been bound. That repentance and baptism was bound in heaven before Peter said it. And for you and me to preach another gospel than what was preached by Peter, shame on us. When people cry out in belief, what must we do? We need to say exactly what the Apostle Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the authority of Jesus' name. And God promises to wash and wash and wash away your sins, and He will grant to you the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is a promise. This is a promise. So are you listening? The aspects of that? That's a promise. What did you do that you knew that God promised that if you did it, you would be forgiven of your sins? You go to a prayer altar, find that in the Bible. Huh? Find out what indeed you were and what you did in order that you would have received the promise from God that He has forgiven you of your sin and that you have been granted the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not only is He able to keep His promise, but my faithful Father is able to save me completely. Do you hear what I just said? I said God's going to save me, and He's going to save me completely. I don't think I'm saved. I am saved. I don't think I'm going to heaven. I am going to heaven. Why? Because my Father is able to save me to the uttermost. He's able to save me completely. That God, I put my life in God's hand. I trust Him to do what He's saying. I can't save myself. I can throw myself down on the floor, but I'm going to hit it. And I'll come up black and blue, broken arms, you name it. Because it's impossible for me to do that. It's impossible for me to save myself in the context of what God and God only can do. In fact, Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore, He is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, that is Jesus, since He always lives to make intercession for them. How is God able to save me to the uttermost? It's because of the high priest that we have in Jesus Christ. He ever, completely, totally, is always making intercession for us. He came to be tempted in every way like you are, yet He was without sin, but yet He can go before the Father in heaven and He can empathize on your behalf. And when you go before the throne to seek help and need, you go through Jesus and in Jesus' name. Right? Don't you doubt your salvation. You need to live confidently in the faithful Father you have, that He is going to save you. He desires to save you. He will save you to the utmost, and He will do it completely. That's what He promises. He promises. Ephesians 2:8 tells us how He does it. I mean, how does He save you and me? Well, by grace. By grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. You ever received a gift from your earthly father? You appreciate it much? You see, God, your Father in heaven, He wants to save you more than anything else in the whole context of His creation. He desires you. He loves you. He let His Son die for you. He's going to save you. He wants to save you. He desires to save you. And you will be saved not because you merit it, not because you earned it. You're going to receive it by God's grace, and it will be a gift. Amen? It'll be a gift of salvation that He gives to us. And He's able to do that. You're not able to do that. Could you give that type of gift to someone who has done a mockery to your son, crucified your son, sinned against your son, done whatever against your son? Could you still offer them salvation? Could you do what God has done and is willing to do? You see, the gates of hell and Satan and the powers of this world cannot stand against the grace of God. He emptied them. He took everything away from them. by granting and bringing you into a period, into a dispensation of grace, and you better be standing in that grace. Because it's in the grace of God you're saved. And He wants to save you. Amen? He's able to. Our faithful Father is able to keep us from falling. Now notice, He's able to keep His promises. He's able to save you. And He's also able to keep you from falling. Okay? I mean, think about it. All right? Think about it. Oh, I know what's wrong. You see, that's impossible for this thing to work if you don't turn it on. Got it? Okay? Now, somebody apologized. Now, that's all I said I wanted on the screen, whoever sent that note. Okay? Your dad added to the scriptures this morning. I want you to notice that. Now to Him who is what? To keep you from stumbling or falling. To make you stand in the presence of His glory. Blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Come on, people. God not only promises to forgive you and grant you the gift of the Holy Spirit and your obedience to those two commands, He promises that no matter what, He's going to save you completely and He's going to keep you from falling on your nose, so to speak. He's going to keep you from stumbling, from falling. Come on, who you put your faith in anyway? Some of us go around, oh, I've got to be careful. No. Put your faith in what God promises He's going to do for you. He's going to save you. He's going to keep you from falling and stumbling. And He's going to present you someday. You can stand in that promise. He's going to present you without fault someday. How in the world does He do that? Brother Mark said and showed us how He's going to do that because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That is those who were around the white throne. They are numberless. How did they get there? Because they have white robes on, standing before God in white robes, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how they got there. I don't believe there's a sin Jesus Christ can't forgive except the blaspheming. You know what He said? Any sin you present in heaven here, there's nothing that the blood of Jesus can't forgive. They don't put you outside that option. God can save you completely. He can keep you from falling. He can present you blameless someday to God with great joy. How do you think you're going to feel when the heavens open and Jesus is there and the angels are singing and everything is there before you and you're being taken up and the dead in Christ is raised and you're taken up and being caught up in the air? How do you think, man, I wanted to live another day. I just love it down here. I mean, good grief. I got a toenail that hurts. I got a toothache. And I got a... How's your eye doing, Dina? Is it still watering? Dina's got to have surgery on her eye. I don't know if you know that because of the... How many of you have had issues in your physical life and had tribulations and problems in your life? How many of you? Huh? Did Mark read about a place where there'll be no more of that? Want to be great to be there? Want to be joyful? First Peter talks about a joy that is inexpressible, filled with glory. That's what you have yet to look forward to. Right? Huh? There's a great, unbelievable joy that is coming. I thank God for that promise. I do. He can keep you from stumbling. He's able to do that. Right? Huh? Keep your faith in Him. Keep your faith in Him. The aspect is, in Hebrews 2:18, it says, "For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to secure them that are tempted." He's able to secure them. That is, He's able to bring you aid and help whenever you need it. Remember that. You're not alone. There is nothing you face in life that God isn't right there as your faithful Father and Jesus, your great high priest, isn't right there to aid you and to help you and to give you the strength. That is the whole basis of Hebrews 13 where it says, It says these words. Are you listening? That's what it says. Are you listening? I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And we stop there. But it says, therefore, we can know that He is our helper in all of our present needs. If God doesn't leave you, He doesn't forsake you, then He's there every time, no matter what, to aid you, to help you, to get you through it all. Right? Did He not promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13? Did not God promise that He would not allow you to go through more than what you could endure? But with whatever trial you have, He will give you a way to escape. Didn't He promise you that? Didn't He? Yeah, He did. He's not going to allow you to go more through more than what you can take. Our Heavenly Father is also able to answer your prayers. Man, we've been talking about that. And again, I just want you to understand that Ephesians 3, 20, 21. You ought to write that one down. Ephesians 3, 20, 21. And you ought to read it every day for a while. Why? Because this is what it says. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. What is He able to do? He's able to do far more abundantly beyond what you even dream or ask, through the power that is at work in. And to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. How in the world is God going to glorify Himself if He doesn't bless His people? Do you understand that God wanted to bless Israel and to honor Israel and to pour out onto Israel all His power and blessings and glory so that the nations, the pagan nations, would desire to have Him as their God, that He was the God of Israel, and He wanted to make the other nation jealous that they would want Him to be their God? Well, how are you and I going to convince the world out there that our God is able and faithful if He doesn't go beyond what we dream or ask and abundantly bless us to His glory? Isn't that what it said? You understand what I'm saying? But why are we constantly limping around and doubting and questioning and not living a life of unbelievable faith and trust in this Father in heaven who makes His promises true, who saves us to the uttermost, who won't let you stumble? He answers your prayers. He won't allow you to be tried. Al Anon, we can go this morning if you will, because God, our Father, is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. Not only that, but He's also able to provide everything you need. There's anything you need that God won't provide it. He's the great provider, not Dad. You know there are a lot of fathers trying to play God today. You know that there's things you can't do for your family that only God can do, and you ought to be pointing them to God, not yourself. And that lot of fathers are filled with anxiety and fear because they're constantly trying to do things that only God can do. The Bible tells me very clearly in 2 Corinthians 9:8 through 11 that God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. For as it is written, He scattereth abroad, He gave to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing, increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Man, you think you can't give to the kingdom of God. You can't give to the Lord. You just can't afford it. You can't afford not to. If I understand what God promises He's able to do, that according to whatever seed you plant, He's going to multiply it and increase it so that you'll have more to give. I don't know how you read it any differently. I don't see how you can read it any different. And He's able to do that. That takes faith, doesn't it? It takes faith that we're going to take that which God promises, which he's able to do, and give in accordance to it, so that God could increase our righteousness. What is God's righteousness? God's righteousness is that he gave to the poor. Now what I read? Huh? Look, he scattereth abroad. He gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. The poor are always going to be with us. And God intended that you and I as his people would give in such a way that we could have abundance, that our needs would be met, that we would be well taken care of, so that we would have a gift of liberality, so we could give beyond and abundantly to those who are in need. But all you're going to do is put it in the bank, draw interest. All you're going to do is build your bigger barns. All you're going to do with what God blesses you, if you don't continue to sow it, don't continue to plant it, don't continue to give it. According to what Jesus said about this man, rich man, built his bag of barns, it was all taken away from him. What does your Bible say? See, it takes faith to give, doesn't it? And give liberally, right? So that God can take the seed that you plant and multiply the seed, and you can produce a crop that will continue the process of making your ability to give more and more and more abundant. Now, do you believe that or not? You think Paul just wrote that to spread it, or you think it's in the book? Is it in the book? Your faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So I read it here today for you, for my benefit as well. Okay? Don't believe me. I know that. But Jesus did put a stipulation on. You know what he said in Matthew 6:33? Seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I could go back in my life as a father, as a husband, and I can tell you time and time again when we didn't have the money, an envelope would show up in the mail. $10. We had no money for milk for our kids. We had no food, no baby food, no nothing. And out of nowhere came a $10 bill. A $20 bill, $50 bill. Out of nowhere, somebody paid for my schooling. Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, somebody looked at my tires and said, wow, those tires are horrible. Can't you, hey, you know what? I got four new tires, brand new, almost up on the top of my garage, and they were for the car I just sold. They don't fit the one I got. I'm giving them to you. Could I go on? Could Marilyn and I stand here and give a testimony of how many times God has provided for me and my family over and over and over and over and over again. And as long as I remain faithful in giving to Him and giving to Him and planting that seed so that missionaries can go, the church can be blessed, people can be saved, we can feed the poor, we can clothe the naked, then I know that I'm doing it unto the Lord like He said that I am. And that's our ministry, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah. So our faithful Father keeps His promises. He is able to save us. He can keep us from falling. He can answer every prayer far beyond what you dream or ask. He provides and supplies all your needs. What else do you want? What else do you want Him to do when He promises you that He will do all of these things? And He's able to do it, isn't He? Isn't He? So Paul also states in 2 Timothy 1:12, he says, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." Wow. Paul said, "I'm persuaded. There's no question in my mind that which I have committed, He is able to keep." So my question would be, Bill, what have you committed to God? What have you committed? My question would be, what have you really committed to God? And I believe the first thing He wants is you. He wants your heart, your talent, your abilities. He wants you, period. Amen. Father's Day. I just wanted to emphasize what a wonderful, unbelievable Father you have in heaven. Okay? But we're going to recognize our fathers today. Okay? But this is Father's Day. And so if you will, I'd like to have all you gentlemen that are fathers. Okay? Adopted, whatever. You're, doesn't matter whether you, whatever. Grandfathers, stand. Come on. Stand. I know that's hard. It's difficult. I'm not here to embarrass you. It's not my purpose whatsoever. You can stand, okay? And while I challenge you for a few moments while you are given gifts today, you can be given the gifts right now, if you will, to every father. Could I challenge you this morning as a father to make a commitment today to God completely and to His will? Isn't that what your wife and your children and your grandchildren need to see, that you're committed to God? Will you be a father or a grandfather that keeps your promises? You know how many children today are where they are because they've been lied to? Dad's made promises and never kept them. Be a man, a God of integrity. Let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. Would you do that? Would you do that? Okay, you can open up your bag and start eating now. Will you promise before God that your children and your grandchildren will see you praying to the God of heaven, depending on Him? Will you be that example? That they'll see you as a man, as a father, as a grandfather that really believes that there is a God and that you are a man of prayer? Will you commit yourself that your faith in God will indeed be that which you give and put your children into their hands instead of yours? Will you stop playing God and recognize the fact that your limitation reaches to a point and you need to put Him and put them in God's hands? Amen? I believe that. Show them that your hunger is for the Word of God, not for what this world has to offer. Be a man of the Word. Read God's Word. Let your children see you reading the book. Let your grandchildren see you in the Bible and read it to them. Read it to them. That you and I are committed to doing all that we can to encourage them, our wives and our children, for one ultimate goal. I want to see my wife in heaven. I want to see my sons and my daughters in heaven. I don't want them to miss what I know God has prepared for all of us. I don't. That's my goal. And for me to do that, I got to be a father that's worthy of being immolated, right? Right? So be a faithful father. Be a father, a dad, a grandfather, that when they see you, they can trust you and they can see you are faithful to God. Amen? Will you promise God you'll do that? The world needs men today. Godly men. They really do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for you, a Father who has given to us your promises, who has given us the hope of salvation. You've given us and laid out before us, Lord, that you are a God that can do and accomplishes anything and everything that might seem to man to be impossible, but there's nothing impossible with you. I thank you for every man that is a father, a grandfather, every man that's here today. God, I pray that we will look upon you and we'll commit ourselves to you in every way to be the father, the grandfather that will bring glory and honor to your holy name. So bless each man that's here. Bless them all. Use them. Honor them. And help them as they strive daily to be the man that you desire them to be. We thank you for loving us the way you do. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can remain standing. Everybody else stand with them.